So the big question is this: how are real estate investors who don't have a ton of free time, don't have access to off-market deals, and didn't start life on third base, how do we grow a real estate business conservatively to support our families, finally leave the corporate rat race, and build a legacy? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. I'm Ed Matthews, and this is Real Estate Underground.
This is the Real Estate Underground podcast show number 39. Hey everybody, Ed Matthews here at the Real Estate Underground podcast. I am so excited today. Several weeks ago at this point, we met Chris Prefontaine, calling him Chris Pre. Now we have two Prefontaines for the price of one. Mr. Nick Prefontaine joins us. Nick, thank you so much for your time today. I know a little bit of your story and I'm really excited to talk with you and learn all about your story. Welcome to the show and thank you for your time today.
I'm so excited and happy to be here, Ed. I didn't realize we are neighbors. I'm over in Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah. And I'm in Connecticut. So yeah, we're in two tiny states. We're probably 25 miles apart as the crow flies. So
yeah, right. Good deal. So, well, I'm happy to be here.
Likewise, I'm happy to have you here. So Nick, I know a little bit of your story, so I'm selfishly asking this, but for the audience as well, would love to hear your story, how you got into real estate and why are you so passionate about this like the rest of us? Why are you a real estate junkie like me?
It's an addiction, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I tell people that I don't do drugs, I don't drink, so real estate is my vice.
That's your thing, right? We all have a thing. Whenever anyone asks me about like where I started and how I began, I go back to 2003 and I was at ski club with my friends. We were obviously very excited to be there. We got to the mountain, we got all ready and headed right up for the top. And on the way to the top, on the chairlift ride up, we noticed that it was a little icy because it had been raining earlier that day.
Yeah.
So we noticed that people were kind of wiping out everywhere. However, it wasn't our first rodeo, wasn't our first go around. And the chairlift actually went right over the terrain park where all of the jumps were. For those of you non-skiers and snowboarders, I can kind of lay that out in layman's terms. I saw the jumps right as we are going up the lift, the chairlift. And as soon as I saw it, I knew I had to hit it. It was the biggest jump in the terrain park. So got to the top, buckled into my snowboard, got ready, took a breath of that crisp winter air and charged for that jump with all my speed. Going up to the jump, I caught the edge of my snowboard on the snow. And that's the last thing that I remember.
Oh.
They actually wanted to bring a helicopter to the mountain to rush me to the hospital because of the severity of my injuries.
Yeah.
However, they couldn't, Ed, because it was too windy. This was at Wachusett Mountain. You're in the area. Sure. So you get a reference point. They couldn't because it was too windy. So they sent in an ambulance. Out of all the paramedics in the area, there was only one who could really intubate right on the spot. And because of the severity of my injury, I needed that to be able to breathe. He was one of the paramedics that showed up to the mountain that day. And so then once I got to the hospital, I was in the ICU and there was so much that happened just because when I first got into the accident, when I was in a coma, my parents were in my room and the doctors would come in, would stream into my room to share, all right, here's what's happening. Here's what's going on. And my parents always were like, whoa, stop. Even though I was in a coma, they knew I was still taking in information. So they made them step outside to tell them what was going on with me. Mm-hmm. Once out of the room, the doctors told my parents that I would probably never walk, talk, or eat on my own again. They didn't accept that like a death sentence, like so many people do in a situation like that. They took the information, thanked the doctors, and then by doing that, it allowed me to treat it like any other situation. This was no different than any other challenge that I faced up to this point in my life. So once I was aware of my surroundings, because I was in a coma, the coma lasted 3 weeks. However, I don't remember a month. I don't remember a month, and that's because I was coming off of the drugs and medication from a partially induced coma. So once I got my wits about me, I guess you could say, I just treated it like any other situation. I got up, did the best that I could, and I kept getting better every day. fast forward a little bit. I know we can't go on forever.
Here, we
here on the show, but less than 60 days later, I ran out of the rehab hospital that I was at.
Wow.
And that was my goal from as soon as I could communicate. So as I said, when I got my wits about me, because I was coming off, as soon as I could communicate, and at first it wasn't like you see in the movies or TV, it wasn't you wake up from my coma and having full conversations with people.
Right.
Or like walking, running around. It's that's not how life happens. So I slowly had to learn everything all over again, just like a baby would. However, I was 14. So things came back a little bit easier. I had to learn everything. I had to learn how to speak. My communication started off as blinks. Then it was mouthing words. Then it was whispers. So slowly I got my strength back and I was able to run out of the hospital. I had to be tutored all summer long, 5 days a week, in order to continue on to high school with the rest of my classmates. And in addition to being tutored all summer long, I also had to go to outpatient therapy for 6 months.
Wow.
So the work wasn't done when I ran out of the hospital. It wasn't like throw a ticker tape parade or anything.
Right. But yeah. You were on your way.
Yeah. I still had work to do, though. But right. Yeah, I was on my way. I had the momentum. Then really, I don't know. And I explain this now as looking back on it, when I was younger, it was so much time that like those 3 months or those, I wasn't awake for a month. So those 60 days, that might as well have been 2 years, not 2 months.
Right.
Time is compressed. Maybe you can relate to this, but when you're younger, time is compressed. And you think like, oh my God, I'm a freshman, that senior, he's so much older than me.
Right.
Or that senior, she's so much older than me. So time is compressed. When I was going through that, after running out and then recovering fully, being tutored all summer long in outpatient therapy, it's a little surreal looking back on it that only 18 months later, after that, after I finished outpatient therapy, I was knocking on the doors of some distressed sellers that hadn't paid the mortgage in months, sometimes years. And I mean, let's be candid. This was back in 2005, 2006, and 2007. So there was a lot of people that weren't paying their mortgage at all for years, and the bank still hadn't foreclosed on the house. I would get a list and they said, here's your script. And it was actually my dad's company, but they were just starting to play with the idea of having someone door knock. So I was like, hey, right. I want to start helping. And so that's how I got my start. And really, it got reflected back to me recently, Ed, from a mentor of mine that I've been working with. And I worked with pretty like in the trenches, deep with earlier this year. She said, well, wait a minute. That was only 18 months after you finished your rehab. That was really a part of your recovery, going door to door, helping people out of their unfortunate situation. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And it also taught me something that's really important. It taught me about people and how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
How to sell, it wasn't what I was thinking of at the time. It was just, okay, how do I get this to work? Kind of thing. I was only 16 years old. So how do I make this work? And at first, when I started, I had no tact, I guess you could say. They said, here's a script. Here's a list. Here's a list of people. I made the decision on my own that, oh, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the areas where I can hit the most doors in a day, which probably not the best areas to buy properties in, but that's I never consulted anyone on that. Just that made sense to me. So I would do like 50 to 70 doors in a day.
Wow.
Because I was able to hit a lot of them because they were right next door. But when I first started it, I had no idea. I just had a script and a list of people. So I would go up and knock the door. Hi, my name's Nick. I'm here to help you out of your unfortunate situation. I got a lot of doors slammed in my face.
I'll bet.
I had no training. So I was just like, all right, here we go. And then
baptism by fire, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I still had I really didn't have any success doing it that way. However, I got the reps in. So I got the reps and I actually did it and got out there in the field. And then shortly after that, my cousin, who I was doing this with, he was the only other person I was doing it with. We flew out to California to shadow the number one person in the country at the time that was having success with these pre-foreclosure doors. Once I saw what he did and how it differed from mine, it was like tact involved in everything he did. He was like walked up a few steps, do a light jingle on the door, like a friend stopping by, step down, like, hey, I don't know if you can help me out. I'm not sure I have the right address kind of thing. And like so much better. And then I saw the success that he was having with it. So I went home and implemented the same thing. And I started seeing a lot of success, setting up a lot of meetings for our investor. And we still own several properties in those areas that I door knocked years later, like almost 10 years later. So it was definitely baptism by fire, but that's what got me started. And then I graduated high school, didn't go to college, got my real estate license, and got my real estate license in March of 08.
Yeah.
Really great time to get your real estate license and be a realtor, March of 08. So
At least for that first 4 or 5 months until Lehman Brothers declared bankruptcy. And then it got, got a little
bit. That was actually, that was prior. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. So then fast forward, I was a realtor for full time for 8 years. So I let my real estate license go in 2016, started helping my dad with his investment properties as he was getting them at the end of 2014. My time commitment and income completely shifted from being a realtor and working with him to working with him and barely like doing a deal or two a year. So it didn't make sense to keep my license.
Right.
So then I started working with him full time. And that led me to what I'm doing today, which is working with all of our rental home buyers, working hand in hand with them to get them into our rental own homes and get them on the path to home ownership. And then also it's doing the exact same thing with our associates that we have all over the country to implement the same business and the same systems and everything that we have in our business.
Outstanding. What a story. I mean, the resilience that you possess that frankly, you don't meet people who bounce back as hard and as well as you did and have. And I'm curious, when I was getting ready for our interview today, I also came across your other company, Common Goal. And so can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So Common Goal, we relate to and lead motivated people to their common goal. Now, all throughout my life, I have unconsciously been drawn to people that are in the midst of their own trauma or crisis or life challenge, if you will. My goal for them, and this is something that I've done naturally my whole life. So it wasn't even something that I even thought could like, oh, okay, you should probably teach this and share this with people. So with that is we work with people to get through that challenge or crisis and to make it through to the other side. And that allows them to thrive with the rest of their life because what awaits you on the other side of your trauma, tragedy, or crisis is your limitless potential.
Right.
And then once you're through it, but there are so many people, Ed, that can't see it because they're dealing with it. They can't see even what's in front of them. So we work with them to develop the same tools and principles and strategies that I've used to overcome everything in my life. So my accent is just one that we don't have enough time or else you and I, we were talking before, you and I could probably talk for hours, but we work with them to, there's other examples from my life is what I'm saying. Sure. We work with them to implement the same system that has worked so well for me, the STEP system, which is basically STEP is an acronym. So it's support, trust, energy, and persistence. STEP is an acronym that we created and I unknowingly used when recovering from my snowboarding accident as an example, but I'll just give you like a 10,000 foot view.
Sure.
Support, STEP is an acronym. As I said, support, make sure that you have the support of your family and friends. This frees up so much of your mental energy to focus on accomplishing your objective. I might sound overly simplistic, but this very act of getting everyone on board at the start, can save you hours and hours of actual time, worry, and frustration in the future. T is trust. Trust that the next step will always make itself available to you once you take your first step. And this also starts with trusting yourself. So trust that you have this desire or calling inside of you for a reason. Follow it. And I think that goes back to, we all have a little voice inside that we explain away a lot of the time. We rationalize, like, that's not realistic. That's stupid. Right. I'm not going to do that. Well, the way I always like to illustrate this is, remember when I said, well, like, as soon as I could communicate. So as soon as I could communicate, my goal was to run out of the hospital. That came from inside. Yep. That came from inside me, that, like, no, like, they said, are you going to make a full recovery? And I heard, no, you're going to run out. So it's listening and trusting that inner voice. E is energy. You have to make sure you're taking care of your energy. How can you expect to affect others and help others through their challenges if you don't take care of yourself? So unless you're taking care of your energy, how can you expect to help others?
Right.
Then P is persistence. Once you've taken your first step, keep getting up every day and taking your next step, no matter how small. By continuing to move forward every day, you are building an unstoppable momentum. So that's just like a high level overview, but I hope that answered your question.
It did indeed. Yeah. Nick, your story is truly inspiring, and I'm grateful for you sharing it with us today.
Are you interested in real estate investing right here in Connecticut? Ever wonder where all those real estate investing pros hang out to network? Did you know the Connecticut Real Estate Investors Association will introduce you to those investors and will help you learn how to find deals, fund those deals, and even teach you how to do it without leaving your current job? Go to ctrea.com, that's ctreia.com, and click on the events button to register for an upcoming event. Hope to see you soon.
Buying investment real estate is both thrilling and sometimes stressful. Without a lending expert by your side, most investors don't stand a chance. That's where CTREA Funding comes in. CTREA Funding was founded by investors to help investors just like you fund their deals. Whether you're buying a single-family rehab, an apartment building, or really any investment property, our team will understand your deal and help you close quickly. Go to ctreiafunding.com or call us at 860-876-0572.
I'd like to get back to the real estate stuff if I could.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
All of your experiences are interweaved into this, but besides the fact that, you know, you love your dad and you love working with him, what draws you to real estate in terms of your focus and how you spend your time investing?
What draws me?
Yeah. Like, for instance, you know, for me, it's that it's very tactile, right? You can touch it. You can affect its value. And in fact, in my world, it's a little different than yours in that I'm in the apartment business and you're in the rent to own bit of business. And so, you know, the other thing that really draws me is that I love providing people homes, right?
Yeah.
Clean and safe places where they can live and be proud to live and raise their family and teach their kids and hopefully grow to old age, right?
Absolutely. The thing that I like about real estate is it's all I've ever known. So growing up, as far as like income and helping and serving others. So yep. Growing up, my dad was who you've had on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
He was a builder. Then from there, he transitioned to being a realtor, then an investor, and a combination of both for several years. And the thing about that is really the whole reason that this business existed, the Smart Real Estate Coach, I'm sure he shared it with you.
I'm going there next. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. We're in sync, Ed. I knew you were going there next. So was because he was an investor prior to the crash in 2008.
Yeah.
He was holding on to something like 23 or 25 units at the time, all of which he had signed personally for. What I got to witness was, remember, I got my real estate license in March of 08.
Yeah.
My dad and I shared a private office. Now, we are doing different things. However, I got to sit in the room next to him and listen to the debt collectors, the investors, the lenders call him, he would spend from the morning until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon just dealing with crap, right. Just dealing with like, where's my money? What happened? Kind of thing like that. And right. His response was, or one of his responses was, I didn't make the real estate market crash. But one of the things that really impressed me and still impresses me to this day was he didn't fold up shop, which many of his peers around him could have easily done.
Yeah,
he worked out a deal with every one of his investors to make them whole, even though it took years. But that's just not the way that he operated. And my parents raised us that you do that. You just like either declare bankruptcy or what's the other word? I don't know. Anyway, but he could have very easily done that and forgiven all his debts. Sure. And he didn't do that. He worked with each one of them. It took years, but by the time 2012, 13, 14 came around, he started to get the itch again for real estate and re-engineered the business.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we're doing now.
Yeah. So let's talk about Smart Real Estate Investor.
Absolutely. If you remember what I said about the fact that I work with all of our rent home buyers for our business, and then I help the associates bring buyers through the same process that we created.
Yep.
So when it's funny because he said to me back in 2014, 2015, like, hey, Nick, and I was a realtor. I was selling houses as a realtor at the time. He said, hey, Nick, I need help with marketing all these properties that I'm getting. Can you help me out? And I was like, no, I'm busy doing my own thing and I'm doing well on my own kind of thing. Right. I don't I don't need that. Thankfully, he asked me more than once. I think he asked me 2 or 3 times, but I finally said, all right, well, I can do it alongside it. I'll start helping with the marketing these properties. Then there was just a conflict with the realtors, even though legally there is no conflict and we were doing everything legally. Of course, it's very, the whole realtor world, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I was a realtor for 8 years, but it's very catty, at least where we are. People like, oh, you're trying to steal my listings, kind of thing like that. And which is the farthest thing from the truth. We're just providing another option, another opportunity if they're not able to sell in the market for full price or a good offer of cash. Mm-hmm. We're providing them another option, another opportunity that comes in the form of a delayed cash sale. It just, the politics of it and the cattiness just, it didn't make sense for me to keep my license. So I let it go in January 2016 and joined him full time.
Wow, that's great. Let's talk about the Smart Investor program a little bit more. What is it? What's the value you bring to the table in terms of for the buyers, for the homeowners, all of that?
So I'll just use the example on the track that I was going on before. So if a home can't sell on the open market for whatever reason, the market's not yielding the price that a particular seller wants, estate planning reasons, if they own it free and clear with no mortgage, they don't want to take all their cash out right now, they want it over time.
Yep.
But I'll just use that example of if a home is not selling on the open market, we'll come in, pay a good price, pay a fair price for it. And it's typically higher than what the conventional market, like meaning a buyer will walk in with pay cash or qualify for a loan.
Right.
We'll come in, buy the property, and it'll be bought on let's just say a lease purchase for simple. Like we'll buy it on a rent to own agreement.
Yep.
So we'll buy it. We'll say, all right, we'll give you your price or we'll give you a little bit of a higher price than you can get on the open market. However, that's going to come in the form of a delayed cash sale. So that's not saying right now, I'll just say 36 months for this example. On or before 36 months, we'll pay you that price. In the interim, we'll take over responsibility for all maintenance, repair, and upkeep of the home and the mortgage payments, so you don't have to worry about it. And that's like a very basic deal that we do. You're an investor, so you know this, but there's even within this niche, there's probably 10 different ways or more that we could creatively buy the property. However we're buying it, we're always going to be selling it on a rent-to-own agreement to our buyer. Now, our buyer usually or always requires a down payment anywhere from 3 to 10% of the purchase price. I love it if they're all 10% or more. That makes it easier for everyone.
Right.
That makes it easier for them to qualify for a loan. That makes it easier for us. It's just better for everyone involved. However, the reality is not all buyers out there have that liquid 10% right away.
Fewer as the days go by, right?
Well, especially with an attitude like that, Ed.
No, with inflation and all that, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I'm just kidding. I kid. We'll get them into the home with the down payment. It does have to be at least, it has to meet a certain threshold, but then we'll work with them over the course of their lease to get their down payment up closer to the 10% so that by the time they do go for their own loan, they're that much more likely to be approved.
Right.
Great
concept.
Thank you. It's refreshing to me just because I work with buyers all the way, getting them into the home, bringing them through the process. We have a screening process where they go to the screener. We meet with them for a buyer's meeting. Then if we accept them, they do a final signing. We call it a closing. It's not really a closing, but we call it a closing with our attorney where they start the process and put the rest of their down payment down and everything like that, and then get them in there. So we've been doing this for a couple of years now. So we have anywhere from 1 to 2, sometimes 3 a month of homes that we sold on rent owns 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, those buyers finally getting their own loan. And it's really gratifying, it's satisfying and gratifying for me and the rest of the team to know, like, okay, shit, excuse my French, this works. The whole process works. So,
and you change your lives.
Yeah. And we do it for a reason. We're oftentimes, and I say this constantly, we're oftentimes stricter than a lender would be for our requirements for what a buyer has to have, what they have to come to their table with. And the reason is we want there to be no doubt when they do go to get their own loan at the end. So the lender looks back, they see, wow, these guys have put a down payment down initially. They've added more towards a down payment. They've been on time with all of their rent payments and all of their deposit payments.
Yep.
They've been living in the house for 2 years. Why wouldn't I give this buyer a loan?
Yeah, it totally reduces the risk of the bank. Why wouldn't they say yes, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we want to make it a no-brainer for the lender when it gets to the end.
Wow, that's phenomenal. So tell me about the coaching program that you have and how can people learn how to do this?
Sure. They can go, if they're interested in anything that I'm saying about the real estate, that is, and about learning more about, they can learn more about our trademark 3 payday system and how we buy and sell on terms, go to smartrealestatecoach.com and it's /master's class. And they can get registered for a free master's class that will give them a good idea of how we do things, like a high level overview. And if they're interested, they can take the next step at the end of that. I believe that also includes a free strategy call as well.
Outstanding. Oh, great. And so I want to go back to your life experience for a moment. Everyone has mentors and coaches in their world. And I'm curious, you've had an opportunity to meet a whole wide swath of people in your travels. Who's given you the best advice and what was it? And does it have anything to do with your step framework?
That's really interesting. So I want to give a plug to Trisha Brooke, who I just finished working with her one-on-one in her mentorship program. And I first met Trisha back in, 3 years ago. This is interesting timing that we're doing this. So we're going to be holding our first in-person live event that we've had since 2019 with COVID and everything. And we had to go virtual and do everything virtual.
Yep.
I spoke at that QLS live event 3 years ago. One of the people after my talk came up to me and said, if you're ever interested in developing yourself and really honing in on your story and working on that craft, I can connect you with someone who I know and trust. Let me know. Well, at the time, Ed, I was going through a voice issue, which we didn't have time to cover today, but I was going through a voice issue and I was like literally in the throes of it. Mm-hmm. Right after that event, I got a long story short, I was getting Botox injections in my throat to relieve the muscle tension that I was having.
Okay.
And I had to get them for 7 years. The whole ordeal lasted 8 or 9 years, but I was in the midst of that. So I just wasn't ready, but I always held on to this woman's card. I got another Botox treatment. And then like four or five months later, I got another one. That was the last one that I've ever had. That was in February of 2020. I always held on to her card. And a year, about 15 months later, after my last treatment, I contacted this woman and told her, okay, I'm ready. What do I do? Who are you going to connect me with? Because she had affiliations with speaker bureaus and everything like that.
Okay.
She told me about Trisha. I set up a call with her. Trisha told me about her speaker salon that she was doing in New York City. And I would have to commute for 6 weeks in a row, but you get to go on stage with other speakers from 10 to 2 for 5 weeks in a row and work on your craft, your speech, your talk. And then on the 6th week is the showcase. That's where you get to deliver it to mm-hmm. everyone. I just have so many fond memories. I did that this past fall. I have so many fond memories of that and the relationships that I build with people. And during that, Trisha told me about her one-on-one mentorship program. And that's what I literally just finished a little more than a month. That was the best decision that I've ever made in my life, to invest in myself and commit to myself and my growth. And she helped me. She was the one that helped me drill down and figure out what it was that I actually did to recover from the snowboarding accident, the STEP system. So she was the one that helped me do the work to uncover that. And really, it's all I live and all I talk about now, even from stage. So that's the biggest decision that changed my life. And wow. I couldn't be happier that I made that commitment with her.
Wow, that's profound. That's amazing. And congratulations. I'm so happy for you. And I know you're now starting to speak nationally as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we weren't doing this was for a smart real estate coach, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the listeners can get access to the STEP system and download that for free if they go to my website, which is nickprefontaine.com. And if they do /STEP, STEP, they can download the STEP system for free. And literally you and I, because we didn't have time, I only gave you like a very high level overview of the STEP system, but they can learn all about support, trust, energy, and persistence, and really learn about how they can apply it to their lives.
Wow, that's really generous. Thank you, Nick. I'm sure our audience is going to love that. I know I'll be one person who'll be taking advantage of that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
When you're not up on stage teaching people how to either invest in real estate or helping people buy their first or next home or helping them, inspiring them to take action and persevere through whatever they're going through, which I strongly suspect you don't sleep much because that's a lot of work you do. What else do you like to do? How do you have fun? Do you have hobbies? Do you like to hike, run? Obviously, I know you're a runner.
How'd you know that?
Well, just because your first goal coming out of treatment was, I'm going to run out of this facility. So I am.
Yeah. I am a runner. Yeah. That's interesting that you mentioned that. Yeah. I've since running out of the hospital, I've done 2 half marathons, a 10 mile race and a 10K earlier this year where I shaved 30 seconds off my per mile time.
Wow.
So I love to run. I go through stretches. I don't try to push myself in the, which we're called in the heat and humidity. And like I used to foolishly do and wear myself down. Yeah. I'm good. I'll just go for a walk. It's fine. Now I want to, there's a misnomer out there that successful people don't sleep or anything like that because you're so busy and everything.
Right.
I sleep 8 to 10 hours a night. I sleep very well. And I think that's so important. Your sleep, and that goes back to energy, taking care of your energy. And especially with the media and the press around like, oh, I don't need sleep. I can do it on like 5 hours of sleep. No, you have to sleep.
Yeah. Not if you want to be at peak performance, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as far as hobbies or anything like that, I used to golf. I haven't golfed in over 3 years. Right now I'm doing exactly what I was meant to be doing and exactly what brings me the most amount of joy, which is pursuing this work with Common Goal and the speaking and helping and affecting people's lives. Because like I said, even before we started a company, I've been doing this all my life. Right. And I just know there had to be something else. There had to be some other reason that I got in my snowboarding accident than to sell real estate. And I love real estate. It's my life. But I was like, I've always had this voice in the back of my head. Like, there's got to be something more that you've gotten that accident for. And since I've been following this, so for the past, since April or May of last year, no voice, and that's evidence to me that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
I run, but I don't really have hobbies or. Just like spending time with family.
I was about to go the exact same place. We are very connected. So, you know, somebody asked me, well, what are your hobbies? I said, I'm a father of daughters. My daughters are my hobbies. That's what I do. I hang out with my wife and chase my daughters around with whatever they're doing. Right.
How many daughters do you have?
I have two girls, both teenagers. So a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old. So
that's amazing. So you're busy.
I am indeed. And they're wonderful. So
that's awesome. So you're starting to be less busy, but that's awesome.
You know, it's funny. I'm just as busy, but I have a lot more freedom now. So if my oldest is moving into college, into her apartment, I'm there. Right. And it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'm present. I'm not worried about, you know, what boss I have to call or anything like that. Likewise, my younger daughter, if she needs me at her school or traveling around watching her play softball, it's fun. And I don't need to ask anybody's permission to go, which is nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, that's one of the most important things. Being present.
Yeah, being there. And being present. Absolutely. Yeah. Leaving it at the office is a wonderful thing.
So, that's great.
So Nick, thank you so much for your time today. This was a really special episode and I'm grateful for you telling your story and sharing it with our audience. I know you mentioned a couple of websites, but if somebody wants to reach out to you and get to know you or wants to pick your brain about something, you know, is there another way that you prefer them to do that?
Yeah, sure. They can just shoot me an email. Nick@smartrealestatecoach.com. And I can direct them and help them. Air traffic control. I can direct them and tell them where to go to best help them. And I can help them get started in whatever endeavor it is.
Excellent. Well, Nick Prefontaine, thank you so much for your time today. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I know our audience will as well. So thank you. I'm grateful. Good to see you, my friend.
You're welcome. The feeling's mutual. Feeling the good vibes and the good energy from MySpace. And I had a blast. So thank you for allowing me the opportunity.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at your upcoming event in Rhode Island as well.
Absolutely.
And I will be sure to put that all in the show notes when we publish this. So thank you.
For sure. You're welcome.
This has been the Real Estate Underground Podcast, a CT REIA presentation. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. If there's a specific topic you want us to cover, post it in the comments. For more information on the Real Estate Underground Podcast or CT REIA, go to realestateundergroundpodcast.com or ctrea.com. Until next time, happy investing.